This is the Power Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening. Okay, continuing on here today, we're talking about devouring. I just got back from Frankfurt. We took our kids and we got Zeke's passport renewed. That's a big deal over here, having to go to the consulate and things like that, lines and etc. Came back with a headache. But here we are. Let me pray and then we'll get started. Lord, I pray that you'll guide me through. This strength is only coming from you. I pray that we would learn to about our default setting as being devourers, that there is not really ever an option for neutrality. That is just not how we were made. We were made worshipers. We were to take in from sources and thereby live out from that source. And that source was supposed to be you. I just remembered Sam in the Forest. Lord, I pray that you just, guide us through here, and thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as you have well guessed, I totally flaked on Sam in the Forest. Next episode being released this week. I don't know why I forgot about that. So I don't think there's going to be any harm. There's just no way to do it in a day. And I've got this headache. So I just don't see it happening tomorrow. But next Friday, I mean, I don't think there's a rush. But man, I totally forgot. Totally flaked on that. Anyway, forgive me for that. We are in Psalm 1:1, and we're talking about this default setting that we have. Okay, why? What is the essence of being? I feel Psalm 1 is trying to confine our propensity to just take in whatever's around us. So the psalm gives us three aspects of life: walking, standing, sitting. That's basic. Are you doing any other thing but walking, standing, or sitting? I don't think so. Maybe you guys run or whatever. I do not run. I mean, there's a knee problem, but no, that just doesn't sound like fun to me at all. But we sleep as well, but in our daily functions, we sit, walk, functioning functions. Like we have to walk to the refrigerator, get the food to make the kids. We walk down to the washing machine to change clothes and put them in the dryer. At least in my house, it's downstairs. Stand to cook food. We have this propensity to do those things like everybody else. This is what we're getting at. What is she talking about? I'm just not. Hello, welcome to my world. When I sleep, have you ever heard everybody's got a different position that they sleep in, right? They do. Maybe I'm just going off the rails here, but there's just no. And when you're asleep, you don't know. That there's no input going on. You're out. It doesn't say sleep in the way of the ungodly. No. It does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So what it's describing is we function by something. I mean, I don't care how independent, self-made, ultra-isolated person you. I do not care. I do not care how individualistic you think you are. You are walking according to something. I mean, even when I stand there and I cook my meal, I'm standing. I'm cooking according to tradition. Now, a lot of us are really creative and we do our thing or whatever, but we stand, we sit, we walk within a pattern. I don't care emo, how emo you are off in the corner wearing all black. My son likes to wear all dark colors and he likes his head shielded from the sun. I mean, people think he's weird. I don't think he's weird. I know that it bothers him, all that input. But he's walking according to something, standing according to something, and sitting according to something. And what our topic is we devouring, and we devour without even realizing it from sources around us all the time. Yesterday we talked about propaganda. We talked about the Habsburgs. They even back then it was art. They used art as propaganda. It's age old. Everywhere. We saw this. We were driving to Frankfurt, obviously. Well, did I tell you? Yeah, we went to Frankfurt. And there was this tire company and advertised in the back on a truck. And this woman laying over the top of it as if she has anything to do with tires. She has nothing to do with tires. And it got my husband and I talking about how it's these images that basically men, mostly in a stereotypical way, devour her and regurgitate, just to put it roughly and crudely, money for that tire. She has nothing to do with tires. Nothing. The aim is for her to be devoured. And then what? You regurgitate the response that they wanted. The Habsburgs put out all this art. The peasants, as they saw them, devoured the images. And the Habsburgs were counting on the right reaction from them. We are doing this all of the time. Jamba Juice puts up a new sign for some great juice that I probably can't afford at the moment. But it doesn't matter. I'm locked in. I've devoured that thing. That watermelon juice, whatever it is, just supersedes my lack of funds. Right? And so I'm not saying I'm not going to get into a Dave Ramsey discussion. What I'm saying is we devour all the time. All the time. And so Jesus gathered disciples. And Jesus, you could say, started to reprogram, right? The disciples. And he taught and he taught and he healed and he proved who he was over and over and over and over again. It gets to the end, like we talked about yesterday. It gets to the point of the cross and he's like, he can't go any further. Because what it amounts to is that we will always choose something else over God. Unless God does something about it. By default, we are dead. Dead in sin. That means the sins we commit and continue to commit. The worship that we misplace. That we allot to something else. We are doomed to keep doing it. Unless. unless. And Jesus stood in the gap. There was a wide, wide, wide gap. I don't know if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, but that thing is awesome. It's awesome. I went camping. I was a nut when I was a counselor. I was working in the desert in California at a camp. And the Grand Canyon was probably 6 hours away. Maybe I've told this story before. I don't know. But we had to be at camp Sunday night by 6 o'clock, and we got out of camp Saturday noon. So we packed up, we were in a tent, and it was the fastest, most worthwhile trip I've ever had. It was fantastic. We got sunset pictures, we got sunrise pictures. Just the place is phenomenal, but there's no walking over it. There's no getting to the other side. There's no back. You got to go all the way down. You got to go all the way up. But the chasm is huge. How much farther is it? How much farther is it between us and God? When our propensity is what it is, we devour, we regurgitate sin, and we continue to do that. It is a pattern. It is an ongoing pattern. I just talked to a lady today in the, she talked to us actually, as my son put it, in the Frankfurt consulate line. She's lived here for 25 years, and she lived back in the States for a couple years for business, I guess. And she was saying how the German way of life is very sane, as I would put it. It is a slower pace of life. You're not washing your car, doing all the laundry on Sunday. You rest on Sunday. There's nothing open. You're not going grocery shopping. There's no grocery shopping. It's not open. Lidl's not open. Aldi's not open. Sorry. Should have done it on Saturday. Rest. That's basically, I mean, and for Americans, we're like, hold on to you. I'm holding on to the table. Like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do with all this time? But Americans are go, 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 to their detriment. And the sacrifice of their own health. And she's saying, you know, I mean, I determined when I got there that I was not gonna, it was something to this effect anyway. She's like, I was not going to go that pace, but by the end, I was going that pace. I was doing the same thing. We don't have a choice. I don't care what kind of willpower you have. You are standing, you're walking, you're sitting according to some source. You are not an island. You're devouring something. And I'm not even talking about, like I said yesterday, porn or anything like that. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is our desires being fed and filled by something that's not Christ. And so by the time we get to Sunday, we're like, I've got nothing left over. I filled up on this and I filled up on that, and I know you forgive me, but we're living these stagnant, go to meetings life. And we're not even talking about steep sin even. I mean, anything that separates us from God's plan is sin. I write it down in your little book. It's sin. But we're running into bad habits. We're running into eating to fill the gap, right? Whatever it is we fill the gap with. You know, we isolate from those big sins that we don't like, you know, those big ones over there, but maybe we've had like 16 Diet Cokes today. That was the other thing she said. I don't drink soda. When I got back to the States, I started drinking Mountain Dew. Devour, take. We get to Sunday, and I'm not, don't get me wrong. Have your Mountain Dew. But what does Psalm 1 say? Blessed. When you have your barriers, when you have your lines, when you don't just take everything coming down the pike, when they could advertise all day for what that is that you don't need, and you're not sitting on it. It doesn't consume you. You have barrier. You have proper boundaries. When your kids are like, I need that iPhone 400. Really? There's pause in your life. You need it? Because from where I'm standing, you've got list all the devices. Does it look like you need, quote unquote, much? I think we would do our kids a lot of good if we gave them pause, if we made them sweat. My kids still don't have a phone. They have to be trustworthy. I have to know that they're going to turn it off when I tell them to turn it off. And I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. There's a limit. There's an age that I have in mind. There's criteria for their character that they need to develop. And then we will talk about phones. That's where I'm at. I'm not telling you that that's where you have to be at. That's where I'm at. Because no. You don't have to do what they're doing. You don't have to run in that crowd. You don't have to do the same thing. You don't have to eat the same food. You don't have to take the same shots. You don't have to do it. I'll just roll on here. So Jesus, he's basically, it's the foot of the cross, right? And he's about to go where no one can go but him. And what he says here, just after he talked to Peter and told him that he would deny him, he then turns also to Philip. Verse 8 of chapter 14, and then tomorrow we'll get to this abiding thing. He says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. That is, what a question. What a question. We just talked about the impossibility of getting to the Father without Christ. And Philip just lays it open. But what does Jesus say to him? Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? There's something that is impossible for us. There was something that was impossible for Philip. There was not going to be any new eyes, new ears, new life, new anything. There was not going to be any new unless Jesus did what he came to do. And so I don't perceive Jesus being mean to Philip here. He obviously could not see what Jesus was seeing. Had been with him so long, could not understand where this road was going. Could not see God, and God was standing right in front of him. I'm telling you, I don't care how often your butt warms the chair in your church. I don't care. Unless you come to Christ, there is no seeing God. What does he say? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And where was he going? It lands on this work that needs to be done. Philip is not being rebuked as much as he's being pointed the direction. The Father is in me. And what is he saying? I'm going to work through you. Believe me. Believe me. And when we think about devouring, it can be overwhelming because all these sources are around us to devour from. Whether or not it's television, whether or not it's just like this, you know, maybe we're consumed with some organization that we're a part of that is real nice, but it's not Jesus, right? But we've used it maybe to distract us from the real. How many times have I met somebody who really felt they were called to missions, but then got distracted with some weird aspect of the church or started their Anne of Green Gables club or whatever it was, but it had nothing to do with the call of God on their life. They just made it up. And years later, they're still fumbling around with chaff, with hay, with stubble. They belong to Jesus, but they're not operating in his power. They've taken this and devoured that, and they've taken that and they've devoured that, and they've taken this over here and they've devoured that. And since it wasn't in their list of sins, in their list of big sins, it was okay. But it wasn't Jesus. Therefore, it wasn't okay. So tomorrow we'll talk about abiding. Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.